This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's Hour 3, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys getting set to visit the Commanders on Sunday afternoon, and Nick Harris, Star Telegram, joins us now here on The Fan to talk more about it. A good afternoon, Nick. How the heck are you?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? How are y'all?
We're doing well, thanks. And these Cowboys starting to get a little healthier. How many reinforcements they getting this week, and how much do you think they'll help?
Yeah, there's a possibility that at least a couple of these multiple IR guys will be able to come off. The two guys that I'm looking at specifically are Brandon Cooks and Marshawn Nealon. As long as they stay on track going into tomorrow's practice, you know, McCarthy likes the Saturday practice to determine what availability could look like on Sunday. As long as everything comes out of those two practices or out of that practice tomorrow, then I think those two should be able to go on Sunday. But it's also about finding those roster spots. Obviously, they'll be able to find one with putting Marquise Bell on the IR, and then it would be about figuring out the other one. But as long as they can figure out the roster maneuvering, I think both of those guys have a shot to go on Sunday. And then De'Ron Bland, he'll be making his season debut on Sunday. With the injury report coming out, he was not designated, so it looks like he'll be on the field ready to go.
Yeah, that's exciting. What are your expectations for De'Ron Bland? It's like we've never gotten to see him in Diggs since both of them have been record holders.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think we only got two games last year before Diggs got hurt, but yeah, it'll be really good. And I think, you know, there was a specific point in the game last week where Josh Butler on a third down, he had a pass breakup where he didn't necessarily turn his head around in time to look at the ball. And had he, I think it could have been a pick six that could have made it a 20-17 game. And I think if you look at little instances like that, there's been a couple of those throughout the season that if you had De'Ron Bland on the field, then maybe you get a score out of that. So I think he'll be able to bring that ball hawking ability back to the secondary, a secondary that is badly needed, an ability to force turnovers. Obviously, it'll be a huge help him coming back.
Do you have any reason to believe we'll get a more Trey Lance packages on Sunday?
I mean, it would make sense, right? As far as if I believe it'll happen, I don't know. I feel like, talking into the void sometimes. But I think it makes sense against this defense, 30th and rush defense this season and 31st in yards per carry allowed. It would make sense to integrate Trey Lance a little bit more, but we'll see it as the game goes on. You know, Jerry and Mike McCarthy have said time and time again that they feel like Cooper Rush gives them the best chance to win. And I agree, but I also think that getting Trey Lance involved more than he has been also gives them a pretty good chance to win. So I think we'll see as the game goes on.
How much do you think maybe the Jones family and Will McClay look across the other side and they have any regrets over how this offseason went, where it's like, damn, there's kind of where all your depth is on that defense for Washington?
Yeah, I think especially if you look at a guy like Dante Fowler, right? He's already played more snaps this year than he did all of last year for Dallas. And granted, Dallas's edge group was really talented last year, and they were healthier than they were this year. But, I mean, looking at the time that he's had, he's on a Pro Bowl pace with 8.5 sacks through these 11 games that Washington has played. And you factor in Dorrance Armstrong, not only in his ability to rush the passer, but also defend the run. I'm sure it's tough looking at those guys and maybe seeing that they certainly could have started this year at times whenever Micah and DeMarcus Lawrence were both out.
It's Nick Harris, Star Telegram, here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Any reason to believe this could be the game where they start to emerge from rock bottom, or is that going to happen in what's left of the season?
You know, I think getting some of these guys back from injured reserve certainly should provide a boost. I mean, you look at a veteran like Brandon Cooks and his ability to just add some sort of spark to this offense. I think there's a potential there. You look on the defensive side, Marshawn Neeland, he was really starting to put it together in his rookie season before he got hurt. So if he can get his feet back under him, that'll obviously help out the pass rush. That'll help out the rush defense. And Deron Bland, we talked about the takeaway ability there. It only should get better when you return players like that. But it's also about how much intention is being put on the field. And, you know, I'll give the team this credit. You know, they are 3-7. Objectively, it's been a bad team, but these guys are still fighting late into games, and it's typically about fourth quarter where some of these games are starting to, you know, get carried away, whereas before the bye, it felt like some of these games were getting away in the second quarter. So if you're looking for any sort of positive trajectory, maybe that's where you find it.
But you don't see any give up?
I don't. I really don't. And I think these guys are playing for these coaches, and that's something that I'm really keeping an eye on as the season continues on, because if you see that not happening, then I think that's where we start to look around and be like, okay, so what is everyone getting out of this coaching staff right now? And I don't see that right now. I see guys that are playing for these coaches. You know, you see a moment earlier in the week when John Fossil is just asked about Marquise Bell and his impact to his unit, and he starts to tear up and fights back emotions. I mean, that is a big reason why these guys are still continuing to play for them. There's multiple coaches on the staff. I can think of tight ends coach Lunda Wells, wide receivers coach Robert Prince, secondary coach Al Harris. There are multiple guys that are quote-unquote players' coaches that these guys are continuing to fight for.
Speaking of coaches, Nick, if the Cowboys last offseason had decided we're keeping Dan Quinn, we're letting Mike McCarthy go, we were talking about it yesterday, considering you know, the offensive minds that Dan's brought in at his last two stops as head coach, do you think they could have staved off this negative momentum, or would they be in a better spot moving forward?
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. I guess I hadn't thought of that one specifically. I think it could have been a little bit more interesting. I think you could have seen maybe a bigger focus on the defensive side of the ball going into the offseason. I also wonder how the linebacker position maybe would have shaped out without Mike Zimmer in the building, though, because obviously that would have resulted in him not being the DC. So I think certain personnel decisions would have been different. And then also, as far as offense goes, would it have been a more creative play caller? Would it have required this team to be a little bit more creative with the personnel decisions they made over the offseason on the offensive side of the ball? Did it get these guys signed quicker, knowing that there's a little bit more stability in their head coach moving forward, you know, whether it be a Dak or a CD over the offseason? But, you know, if, ands, or buts, unfortunately, those things are not true, because this team's looking at 3-7, and you look at Dan Quinn, and that's a 7-4 team over there in Washington.
Hey, Nick, you're such a big part of the draft show and what we do, you know, during that time period. And I know you've already started looking at guys. Is there, you know, with the Cowboys?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was potentially a top 10 pick. Is there a position that you're feeling really good about of the first three or four guys that you've looked at that you're saying, okay, if Dallas were to go this direction, you know, there's going to be quality. I kind of feel that way about this defensive tackles that I've seen so far with the Mason Grahams and the Kenneth Gant, Grants and guys like that, Harmon from Oregon. I feel pretty good about what I've seen from these tackles. Is that a position you're looking at, or is there something, another area you feel a lot better at?
Yeah. Are you asking top 10 specifically?
Yeah. Just where Dallas, just as the position as a whole that, my first four or five guys I've looked at, boy, I really feel like that, man, these defensive tackles are pretty damn good. Or, man, I don't get the feeling the offensive tackles are that good like we've seen in the past. So I just didn't know if there's a position that you've already seen that Dallas could use that you feel good about potentially in the top 10.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of defensive tackles that I think could make their way into that conversation. I think at the end of the day, the only one that could get drafted in the top 10 is probably Mason Graham.
Yeah.
I am looking at Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss as well. I think he's a guy that could also rise, especially during the draft process. I don't know about necessarily top 10, but I really like this defensive tackle class. And if this personnel department feels like it's a deep class, then maybe that's not a position that they jump at top 10, and maybe a position group that they circle back in the second round.
Yeah.
Specifically, whenever I kind of talk about, position groups being deep and not being deep, I look at the receiver position. We've gotten so used to over the last decade, these receivers having so much value in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think if you want a receiver, you better go get them early. And so I wonder if that factors into Dallas's draft conversations too, even as early as the first round. If a guy like Teteroa McMillan out of Arizona or Luther Burden out of Missouri is available there, if they're picking at 8 or 9, is that a guy that they go grab instead? I don't know if I'm in that conversation. If it were me, I'm using my first three picks on solidifying these trenches, but right. I could understand the argument behind going and getting a skilled guy to help out this offense too.
It's Nick Harris, Star Telegram. Now, how about runner? Are you looking at it like, we're needing whatever we can get here in skill position, and a running game could make us a wild card team next year? Or are you thinking, man, let's just roll with Rico and wait one more year while we develop till we, start that running back clock maybe going into 2026? Are you playing that one way or the other?
Man, I feel like if they don't get one running back, even two in this draft, I think we'll continue to be looking around like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I this is a draft I feel like you have to go get at least one running back, just because I'm really starting to like the depth of this running back class. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at guys like Kyle Menungai out of Rutgers, Jordan James out of Oregon. These are guys that can potentially be available on day three, where I feel like if you put those two guys into the draft last year, these are day two picks that are contending with, the Marshawn Lloyds and the Blake Corums are going in the third round. So I think you have to come away with at least one running back, but wouldn't surprise me if it's a 0-5 situation where they go and get multiple.
Yeah, do that double dip. I mean, I was looking at Travion Henderson from Ohio State. Like, dude, you should have come out last year. You'd have been drafted probably in the second or third round. Yeah. I don't know now with the group this year. But I wanted to ask you about the prime rumors at Colorado that popped out this week with the playmaker talking about it and Shador. I mean, what'd you make of all that? Do you think that Deion is more likely to stay at Colorado, or would he dip his toe in the NFL water?
Yeah, I still have a lot of sources back in my college days and been talking with them quite a bit over the last couple of weeks just about various things. And Deion feels very comfortable about what he's building over there in Boulder. And from the people I've talked to, both in the Cowboys building and in the college landscape, they feel like Deion's building for his future out in Boulder. But, as with any coaching decision or any decision that coaches make whenever they bounce from programs, they will always make it seem like they're there for the future until they're not. And that's not necessarily an indictment on Deion, more so an indictment on the coaching industry. industry, especially in the college landscape. But he did just land a high four-star slash low five-star quarterback in Julian Lewis out of Carrollton, Georgia. That's a guy that he worked the entire recruiting cycle to flip from USC, finally was able to make it happen last week. He's starting to solidify some guys. He's got a receiver out of North Shore down in Houston, Quanell Faircon Jr. That's another guy that he's been recruiting really hard to make sure he stays in the class. So, you know, he's been putting in the legwork from a recruiting perspective, and I think that's to build the future post Shador and post Travis Hunter.
How good's Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, he's been great. I think it's certainly a rookie of the year type guy for me. You know, that would be my vote right now. As far as what he brings to that offense, it's been awesome, but I also got to give credit to Cliff Kingsbury too, because he's added a level of creativity to his packaging that I think we didn't even necessarily see in Arizona when he was using Kyler Murray early in his career. I think he's making Jaden Daniels a better quarterback, but I think more importantly, Jaden Daniels is making Cliff Kingsbury a better play caller.
You mentioned building in the trenches. I wonder what you make of these young offensive linemen, Richards and Guyton, you know, specifically. Are you doing any musical chairs in the offseason? Where are we long-term with Terrence Steele? Like, how much does this offensive lineman need attention?
Yeah, I think this is going to have to be something that takes a really big intention over the offseason from the personnel department. They got to look at this entire picture and be like, okay, what is our best five that we can put out there to make this the best unit possible? And I think the Terrence Steele situation is obviously tough. Whenever you look at the last 2 years and how those numbers have compared to what he was like in the before the ACL injury, the pressures he's allowed, the run stops that he's allowed, and is it a conversation where they have to look around and be like, is this a contract that we are willing to eat? And if they are, then I think there's a situation where you could go draft a guy in the first round at tackle, move Tyler Guyton out to the right side, and you know, start to work those musical chairs around so that you don't have to use musical chairs in the middle of the season. Because I think if they continue to roll out with these guys that they have right now, it's only going to cause more problems.
Nick, thank you so much, man. Encyclopedia of football data. We salute you. We look forward to our next conversation.
Hey, I really appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great one.
Cheers. Star Telegram is where you'll find him. Must follow on X there. Cowboys reporter Nick Harris here in the G-Bag Nation.